Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord of heaven and earth, pour out on us the abundant gifts of your Holy Spirit. May the work begun by your Spirit on the day of Pentecost continue in us as we hear your word and do your will. Amen.
Good morning. Just so you know, this is my favorite chapter of the Bible. We're going to read Romans 8, verse 13 to 39. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches for our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And this is my favorite verse. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Is it on? I think so. Here they come. Hey, how's everybody? So happy to see everybody. Hi, James. It's not just us. If you weren't here, then it wouldn't be anyone. We're so glad you're here. And it's not just us. You are so special. And we're so glad you're here. So I need your help today, Henry. I need everybody's help. So we've got to sit really still because I have something really big in this bag that I need your help with. What is this? What do you think? Oh boy, it's very dirty. It probably wasn't a good day to wear white pants, Mrs. Weiss. So what do I have? Do you know what this is? What does it look like?
A board.
It is a board. Wood. Is it one board or
it's
two boards?
Wood. It's wood.
Right. How many pieces of wood do you think?
Two.
Two. And they look like they're nailed together, are they? Yeah. You think you could get them apart for me? Could you try? Oh, pretty hard, huh? How about you, Henry? Could you try? Oh boy, pulling me with you. This is tough, huh? I don't think we can. What do you think? You've got strong muscles, too. What about you, James? Oh, boy. Maybe Dad, you know, Pastor Chris could help us. Pastor Chris, you think you could try to? Wow, because look at his muscles. Oh. Oh.
Even Daddy can't do it.
Even Daddy. Oh. Even Daddy. Do you think anybody here could separate this?
Well, if Hope was here, he could.
Who's Hope? Oh, the Hulk?
The Avengers.
Oh, yeah. But he's just pretend. He's just in our imagination. He's just pretend. So we could not get that apart, could we? We could not separate that no matter what we did, right? Didn't matter how strong we were. So you know what that reminds me of? Have a seat, Henry, because I might need your help again. You know what that reminds me of? God's love for us. Well, but if we saw it, it wouldn't be the same. We would break it. So we cannot separate it.
Hate separates things.
Well, you know what? That's a very good point. Did everybody hear what Henry said? Hate separates things. But when we think of hate, do we think of God?
No.
No, because God is love. We were to love because he loved us so much. He made us in his image. They're going to take over the sermon today. But wait, I've got listen, Henry, I've got the best news to tell you. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And your dad's going to teach us a little bit more about that today, too. Mrs. Gerritsen just read it for us. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from God's love. He loves us so much, nothing. No matter where we are. Guess what, Henry? If we were up in an airplane, if we were in a submarine in the sea, if we're in school, if we're home, if we're visiting friends, grandma's house, aunts and uncles, wherever we are. And guess what? Whatever we do, sometimes we make poor choices. Sometimes maybe we don't listen to our moms and dads or aren't nice to our brothers and sisters. Listen, or don't listen to our teachers. Whatever we do, you know what? God sent Jesus, his son. He loved us so much to be our Savior. So if we make poor choices and do things we shouldn't, we just ask him to forgive us and he will. And our whole life, we just trust Jesus and he'll take care of us. And you know what, Henry? We will make people know that God is love and will show his love through us. So they'll never see that hate. They'll only see love because that's how God made us. And nothing, nothing, nothing will ever separate us from that. Isn't that the best news? He'll take care of us if we're sick, wherever we are, whatever is going on. Nothing will ever separate us from God's love. Let's thank him for that. Let's fold our hands and thank him for that. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for these beautiful children, and thank you for all your children here today, each and every one of us. And thank you so much that you love us so much, and nothing, no matter what is ever going on in any of our lives, wherever we are, that you are always with us and that you love us, and nothing will separate us from that love. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior and Lord, who made that great love possible. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being such great helpers and such great listeners. All right, have a great week.
Okay. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when I talk about the Holy Spirit with you all, what kinds of things come to mind when someone says Holy Spirit? What comes to mind for you? Strength? Good. Challenger, all right. Yeah. God's presence on earth. God's presence on earth, yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good. Today being Pentecost, we're going to talk all about the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 actually is, aside from Jesus talking about the Gospels, the one place in the New Testament where we find out the most about what the Spirit is up to. But first, let's deal with some common ideas about the Spirit that may not be quite right. First of all, have you ever heard someone say, "I'll do whatever the Spirit tells me to do"? There are a group of people, folks who have been in Bible study will know this, they're called the Quietists. They operate fully according to the Holy Spirit, which means that if the Holy Spirit doesn't move them to get out of bed, they won't get out of bed. There have been memoirs written by Quietists. Tuesday, May 1st, today I put on one sock because that's what the Spirit led me to do. That's an extreme, right? If only the Holy Spirit were so direct and clear to me. On Pentecost, Peter spoke under the power of the Holy Spirit, who gave him words to speak. Sometimes in Pentecostal churches especially, you will hear people speak in other tongues, other languages that no one can understand unless someone else is there to interpret them, which I know is a thing, and it's probably a bad thing for me to say this, but I don't always buy it. I mean, imagine for a moment if I started speaking words that were unintelligible and then someone else got up and said, "Oh, this is what he was saying." For me, that's fraught with danger, right? I mean, it's hard enough to speak words to many different people in many different life situations. I can't tell you the number of times that someone has come up to me after a sermon and said, "I really appreciated it, Pastor, when you said this," when I hadn't said that. But perhaps that's the work of the Holy Spirit, too. Karl Barth, a 20th century prophet, perhaps one of the greatest 20th century theologians in the Reformed tradition, talked about the way that the Holy Spirit works as we read Scripture, that the Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture, but the Spirit has just as much of a role to play in our hearing and receiving of it today. Indeed, when the Holy Spirit works in us as we hear God's word proclaimed, that becomes God's word for us in our present time. Holy Spirit is a powerful person, the third person of the Trinity. But Paul talks about some very tangible things that the Spirit does. The first thing Paul says is that the Spirit adopts us as children of God. When the Spirit enters into us, we physically become sons and daughters of God. I like the way that the NIV translates that word adoption as sonship. The actual Greek word for adoption includes the word son in it, the word child in it. That we actually become children of God. Willie, I loved last week when you told the story about your own kids, about your decision to adopt, and then your decision to adopt again, only to have God say to you, you'll have a child of your own instead, and your concern about your kids growing up together with some enmity, but how they are both your children. A testimony to the fact that you treated them both as your children. That's the way that God sees us, as children. And that ties in to actually the end of this. Because my kids, they're listening in there, which they might be. Don't tell them I said this if, you know, they don't know it. But there's nothing they could do that would stop them from being my kids, that could stop them from me loving them. Sometimes they do things that get them in trouble at school, at home, and I've got to discipline them. I've got to find some way to try to correct that in them. It's heartbreaking to hear them say, as you are disciplining them, do you still love me? Yes. Yes, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 times yes. Why? Because you are my son, because you are my daughter, because you are my child. The Spirit adopts us into the family of God. It doesn't mean that things are easy all the time as a result, right? There are trials, there's suffering. Paul is writing to a church in Rome that is suffering. They're suffering because of the Roman soldiers. They're suffering because of enmity between them, the Christians, and the Jews that are not Christians who are living there. They're suffering under an oppressive regime. They're suffering. It hurts. There's pain. But Paul writes, even in the midst of that, the one thing you should never ever doubt is that you are a child of God through the Holy Spirit and that God loves you. So then Paul says, so then, what shall we say about all of this? If God is for us, then who could be against us? What can separate us from the love of God? Persecution, pain, trial, disease, persecution, peril, sword? No. In all of these things, in all of this suffering, in all of these dangers, we are more than conquerors, he writes. For I am convinced, Paul says, that neither height nor depth, angels, demons, life, death, present, future, any powers, anything can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am convinced, he says. And yet, friends, sometimes we live our lives like we're not as convinced as Paul is. And sometimes we treat each other like we're not as convinced as Paul is. In the church, we draw lines. So you're in, you're out. The General Synod meeting is happening this week. Rob Ryerson, bless his heart, is there as a delegate. They're discussing the 2020 vision plan. For next year, what will we do as an RCA in the midst of deep divisions around our understandings of human sexuality, around our understandings of the authority of Scripture, around our understandings about who's in and who's out? Doesn't sound like Paul to me. What do you mean, who's in and who's out? For I am convinced that neither height nor depth nor angels nor demons nor rulers nor powers nor present nor future nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. No ifs, no buts, nothing. Which, my friends, we should take great comfort in. And it should cause us to reach out to people who are different from us. It should cause us to see one another as the children of God, even people we disagree with. It's interesting in reading some of the news coverage from Synod and catching some grabs of, you know, what people are saying, it's like people deserve a medal for talking to someone they disagree with. It's amazing. But in our day and age, the culture that we live in today is one of separation from people that you disagree with. But friends, this is not what the Spirit calls us to be, calls us to do. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh. The Spirit is gathering all peoples together, working in each one of us. That's the power of Pentecost, my friends. That's the power of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's what makes the third person of the Trinity so important for us to understand and recognize and worship. The same Spirit that adopts us as sons and daughters of God does the same thing for all of creation. And it's found perhaps most powerfully here in the elements of the Lord's table, in this bread and this cup. We believe that when we eat this bread and when we drink this cup, the Holy Spirit unites us together as one body, fully and amazingly in communion with God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing as well? There's something mysterious about that, but it's a real presence of Christ in our midst. We set the table on Pentecost as a reminder to us of the work that the Spirit is doing in drawing all peoples together and the importance that we place on doing that for ourselves as well. Being a people that are constantly seeking the reconciliation that comes with being sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, today we celebrate the Holy Spirit. And we celebrate the truth that nothing, not ourselves, not anyone else, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for our adoption as your sons and daughters. We thank you for setting the table before us now, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to partake of this bread and this cup. We thank you for the power of your love that blows over anything that might get in its way, and for the promise we have in your word that nothing could ever separate us from you. We thank you and praise you, O God, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith? The words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.